The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
Tonight, I'm going to be talking about something which God's really put on my heart, and it's something that He's been showing me a lot about in my life. So I'm going to share some of what I've been learning, some of what He's been showing me, and it's all based around the topic of hunger. So can you guys say with me, hunger? Hunger. Awesome. All right, now who has ever been hungry? Yep. All right, I'm not just talking about a hunger, like it's 6 o'clock, it's time for dinner, you're feeling a bit hungry, but a hunger and a craving for a particular type of food. Like you really want Thai takeaway, and all day, all you've wanted is Thai takeaway. Like, maybe you're at work, someone had it for lunch, and you're like, oh, man, I'm so hungry for that. I'm having that for dinner. For the rest of the day, that's all you think about. And then you get home, you eat Thai for dinner, and it's like the best food you've ever had. Not just because it's really good food, but because you are really hungry for that. And so it satisfies you. It satisfies that craving. And, you know, when you're really, truly hungry for something, nothing else will satisfy. For me, if I want Thai takeaway for dinner and I get baked beans instead, I'm not going to be happy. I hate baked beans. They're like the worst food. So I'm not going to be satisfied. I might be full, but I'm not going to be satisfied. Because when you're hungry for something, nothing else will satisfy. What you're hungry for is what you seek after. If I'm hungry for Thai, I'm not going to go seek out baked beans. I'm not going to go to Woolies, pick up some cheap dinner. I'm going to go get Thai because that's what I'm hungry for, so that's what I seek after. What you're hungry for, it matters. When you're hungry for something, nothing else will satisfy. What you're hungry for is what you seek after. And, you know, we actually see this in the Bible as well. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well." And just before that, in Matthew 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And in these verses, Jesus is saying, what you're hungry for and what you seek after, you know, it matters. How about you hunger after me? How about you seek after my righteousness, my kingdom? Jesus is saying, be hungry. Be hungry for me. And there's a story in the Bible about, There's a story in the Bible about a group of men who were really hungry. But they weren't just hungry for earthly food. They were hungry for Jesus. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Mark chapter 2. And we'll start from verse 1. And it says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" At that point, Jesus has a bit of a conversation with the Pharisees. And if we skip to verse 11, it says, "So he said to the man," and this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." So he got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, I heard this story the other day and it really came alive for me when I started to look at it through the lens of the four friends. See, they wanted to get to Jesus. They've probably never met Jesus before. They might have traveled a long distance. I mean, that happens a lot in the Bible. But they've brought their friend and they want to get him to Jesus. But they've arrived at the house and there's no room. They can't get to Jesus. But this is the part that I love. They're not just like, okay, that's sad, we can't get to Jesus, better go try something else. Like, maybe there's someone in the next town that can help us. Maybe we can go try a new type of therapy. I don't know, this isn't meant to be. But they're like, no, they're so hungry to get to Jesus. They jump up on the roof, they cut a hole in the roof and they lower the guy down. And man, I just think that's so cool. They're so hungry for Jesus that they're not satisfied with mediocre. They're not satisfied to just be a part of the crowd. You know, they're not satisfied to just wait around until something changes. maybe Jesus will come outside, like, we'll get to see him then. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. But they're like, no, we want Jesus. We want to get to Jesus. We're seeking after him. We're going to do whatever it takes to get to him. They're so hungry for Jesus. And I don't know, I just love that story. What we're hungry for, it matters. It's what we seek after. And like these guys in Mark chapter 2, you know, we need to be hungry for God. We need to seek after God. We need to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Are we good? Yeah? Can everyone say hungry?
Hungry.
Hungry, it's good. All right, so tonight I want to look at four things that hunger produces. Now, I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you everything that physical hunger will produce. But I'm going to tell you four things that spiritual hunger produces. And there's probably way more, but I'm just going to look at four because this is what God's been showing me, what I've been learning about. And to keep things fun, I've got some prizes for anyone who's really hungry and wants to remember those 4 points. You remember the 4 points at the end? I've got some chocolate here. I was going to bring some tomato sauce as well because every time I preach at youth, it like randomly happened one night. I had a packet of like mini tomato sauce sachets and I was like, oh, everyone who answers a question can get a tomato sauce sachet. And it just like became my thing. Every time I preach, I'd give out tomato sauce. But I thought you guys were more mature, so I was like, okay, I'll bring chocolates. So at the end, if you remember your 4 points, I'll get you a chocolate. All right, so the first point, if you guys are taking notes, you can write this down, or if you want to get some chocolate, it is hunger produces passion. Now, first off the bat, I want to look at this one because I think it's my favourite. Just before, we saw that what you're hungry for is what you seek after. And if you're hungry for Jesus, you're going to seek after Jesus. But the thing is, when we seek after Jesus, he always shows up. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." If we seek after God, if we're hungry for God, he always shows up. And I don't think it's actually possible to seek for Jesus to show up and us not to get passionate about him, because he becomes our everything. You know, if you think back to when you first became a Christian, was there a fire in you? Was there a passion like you were just ready to run around and shout it to everyone that like Jesus is the coolest thing ever? And when someone becomes a Christian, they're hungering after God so hard and it's coming out in passion. You know, studies show that new Christians are actually the most prolific at making disciples and seeing more people come to Christ. And I honestly believe it's because they're the most passionate. They're in this space where everything is awesome. I heard it described once by this guy, and he's like, when everyone comes to Jesus, they're just like, oh man, the church is awesome. Like, the pastor is so awesome. The worship's awesome. All the ministries, they're so good. Like, the chairs are awesome. The toilets are awesome. Everything is just so cool. And they have this passion. They have this fire, and it just spreads to everyone around them. And I know for me, when I first took my faith as my own, that was the main thing that I noticed. I was passionate about Jesus. I was so hungry for him to fill my life. And I was just like ready to tell everyone about him. Like, this is the guy that saved my life. This is the guy that I'm so in love with. This is the guy I've given my life to. Like, of course I'm going to be passionate about him. Of course I'm going to share that with others. But now I have to catch myself all the time. I'm like, am I still that passionate? Do I still have that same fire burning within me? And yeah, I'm just always asking that question. Do I still have that same passion? Because yes, we want to get more mature in our faith. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think maturity is ever a replacement for passion. Maturity needs to generate more passion. And when I'm talking about passion, I'm not just talking about being loud, and I'm not just talking about like an emotional response. But no, passion when you have a fire in you that it's so consuming that it totally takes over you and who you are. Because you see, I actually believe that passion is a forerunner to revival. Nothing inspires me more than when I hear someone tell me that they've got this passion stirring in them from God, that this is what they thought they wanted out of life, but suddenly they've got this hunger for God and this passion rising to do something else, to share God's love. And I think across the world, Christians are starting to understand that individual revival leads to corporate revival. Individual revival is when a single person is so consumed with passion for Jesus. They're so hungry for God that it generates more hunger until it totally consumes who they are. And when a church actually has enough people that are experiencing individual revival, it tips the scales and it becomes corporate revival, where that passion and that hunger for God is actually the very DNA of the community. And that passionate community will attract other people. You know, they're seeing this over in China, over in persecuted countries, where every person in that church is so passionate for Jesus that that's the DNA of the community. And they're seeing revival break out. They're seeing people come to Jesus. And I want to see corporate revival come. And so I'm always asking myself, how do I be that individual that's fully sold out for Jesus? Am I hungry for Jesus? Am I pursuing Jesus with everything that I have? Am I passionate about him? Just like the four guys we looked at before in Mark 2, who were so hungry they didn't stop pursuing Jesus. We need to be so hungry for Jesus because that hunger produces passion. So that's my first point. Hunger produces passion. Second one is hunger produces a commitment to food. Now, you know, when it comes to food, we all eat every day. I hope we do. If you don't, that's a worry. But we're designed to fill our bodies with nutrients. So we have to eat every day. We have to drink every day. I guess you could say that as humans, we're committed to food. We need to eat and drink to survive. We need to satisfy our earthly hunger and thirst. And that's just how God made us. But you know, there's actually a direct correlation to our spiritual bodies. We need to hunger and thirst after God every day. We need to be consistent in setting aside time to read his word, listen to his voice, pray and worship. You know, we set aside time to fill our physical hunger every day. And we need to do the same with our spiritual hunger. In the same way that we're committed to physical food, we have to be committed to spiritual food. You know, I learnt the other day from Sam Evans, who's from Planet Shakers Church, that scientifically in the physical, we're actually dehydrated long before we're actually thirsty. And often we don't realize we're dehydrated until we reach that point of thirst. But it's actually affecting our bodies way before that. Now, if we take that same analogy and think about our spiritual bodies, we might be spiritually dehydrated and not even realize. If we're not consistently eating and drinking from the spirit of life, we could be dehydrated and not even know it. Only it does affect our spiritual life. We have to be consistent in feeding our spiritual walk, and we do that by spiritual disciplines. Reading God's word, practicing hearing his voice, spending time in worship and prayer, fasting, that's spiritual food. That's how we stay committed to spiritual food. There's this great analogy, and I don't actually know where it originated. I've heard it from a few different places, but they talk about reading your Bible, and they say reading your Bible is a bit like taking a vitamin. If you take one, you may not see results straight away, but if you take one consistently every day, eventually you start to see change. And I love that. Just as we need to eat with our physical bodies, it's the same with our spiritual bodies. We need to drink of the Spirit every day. And if we're hungry for God, we're going to, because hunger produces a commitment to food. So that's point two. Point three is that hunger produces more hunger. Now, this is the craziest way that spiritual hunger works. In the physical, we eat and we're full. If we eat too much, we can't eat anymore. But the cool thing is, in the spiritual, it's not like that. Spiritual hunger produces more hunger. When we get excited about what God's doing, it makes others excited. It creates a culture of hunger and expectancy. And it opens our eyes to see God move in ways that we never thought possible. And we start to see God moving in places that we never once would have gone. So for me, I used to have a very set idea of like how people experience God and the right way and the right environment. But what I've found is the more that I hunger after God and the more hungry I become, I start to experience him in places that I never would have expected to. And like, it's not reserved for Sundays. If I'm driving in my car on a Tuesday, I can be like encountering God in an awesome way. Because when I'm truly hungry for God, he's showing up everywhere in life. And he's showing up in new and unexpected ways. And it's going to be different for every person. So just because I know this to be my experience doesn't mean that it's the only experience. Everyone is going to be experiencing God in a new and fresh way all the time. Because God's not stagnant. He's not stale. He shows up in a fresh way every time. And when we're hungry for God, we're going to see him showing up in a new and fresh way. And that might be different for different people. But I believe that when we have the courage to reach beyond ourselves, it's one of the greatest ways to honor each other and to honour ourselves. It takes humility to reach beyond ourselves, to say, you know what? God's bigger than my understanding. You know what? God's bigger than my mind, but I'm so hungry for him that I'm going to keep seeking after him anyway. And along the way, he's going to keep blowing my mind. Because I'm so hungry for him that every time I get a fresh revelation from him, it produces more hunger. And just because I know this to be my experience doesn't mean it's the only experience. Sammy Rodriguez, who's an American pastor and evangelist, he has this great saying. He says, my opinion of him doesn't change him, but my perception of him will change my opinion of him. So take a moment to get your head around that one. My opinion of him doesn't change him, but my perception of him will change my opinion of him. And I think in Christianity, it's so easy to get caught up in our opinions of him that it actually changes our perceptions and we start to put God in a box. But the cool thing about hunger is that when we hunger after God, it breaks down boxes, it breaks down walls, and we start to see more of God. Our hunger for God produces more hunger. Where we go, just because I know this to be my experience doesn't mean that it's the only experience. I'm so hungry for God that it doesn't matter if this matches my theology. I'm so hungry for God that it doesn't matter if this is scary. I'm so hungry for God, it doesn't matter if I look like a fool when I worship. I'm so hungry for God, it doesn't matter what people think about me. My hunger is producing more hunger, because that's what hunger does. When we hunger after God, it produces more hunger, and we see him showing up in new ways. So good. All right, so the next one, hunger produces courage. You know, when we're so hungry for Jesus that we would do anything for him, we find that there's an uncommon courage that starts to rise up in us, that we're more prepared to get out of our comfort zones and do the things that we would once never have done. All throughout the Bible, there's story after story of people who showed courage and stepped out in faith. And yet in every story, they're the ones that hungered after God. It's like the story of the friends in Mark chapter 2 that were so hungry to get to Jesus that they actually climbed up on the roof and lowered their friend down. Now, I bet that was something that was probably frowned upon. I mean, if I had a special guest in my house and a bunch of guys just like jumped up on my roof, cut a hole and shoved a guy down, I mean, it wouldn't exactly be well received. Everyone would be like, what the heck are these people? They're vandalizing everything. What is going on? That kind of thing takes courage. But you know, when you're so hungry for God that you'd do anything to get to Jesus, you get this uncommon courage that rises up within you, that you're willing to step out in courage. And I think we need to be a people who are more willing to get courageous. But that has to start with hunger. I remember this one time in my life when I was driving somewhere and I had this meeting and I was like really nervous about it. I just didn't want to be there. And I was like ready to turn around and go home. And I was like, God, I don't want to be here. What the heck? You know, and I said to him, I'm like, God, I need some courage. I need you to show up. And he said to me, like super clearly, he said, Emma, when you say yes to stepping out in faith, you're saying yes to a testimony of the power of God at work in your life. And that was one of those moments that like really marked me. That when I say yes to stepping out in faith, stepping out in courage, I'm saying yes to a testimony of the power of God at work in my life. And we know what testimony means, right? Testimony means to see it happen again. If we want to see God move again and again and again in our lives, we've got to step out in faith. We've got to step out in courage, and that has to start with hunger. You know, we need to say yes to stepping out in faith. We need to be like those four friends who would do anything to get to Jesus, to be so hungry for his presence, his purpose, his plan, his passion, that we're willing to take courage. Because hunger produces courage. So, we're going to leave it there, but let's quickly recap what we've covered. First of all, hunger matters. What we hunger for, it matters. It's what we'll seek after. The four men who brought their lame friend to Jesus, they're a great example of hunger. Rather than settling, they were so hungry to get to Jesus that they were happy to cut through a roof and lose all their dignity. And man, I want to be like those guys. They're so cool. And then we looked at the four points of what spiritual hunger produces. So, can anyone help me out and tell me what the first point was? Oi. Okay. If I can open these, you can have a chocolate. Oh, well. I hope you like this one. Yeah, everyone's a winner. That's my motto. Okay. So, yes, we need to be a people that are passionate for Jesus. All right. Who knows the next one? Yes? Yeah, that's it. Hunger produces commitment to food. There you go. Oh, no. So close. Awesome. Okay, number three. Who's got number three? Yep. Yes. Oh, here you go. Ready? See if I can throw it this far. Oh, no. It was close. Is she keeping it? Oh, she's going to keep it going. Awesome. Okay. Last one. Oi, Dan, what is it? Yes, hunger produces courage. Really, let's see if I can get this one. Oh, yes. Okay. So that's what I've got, guys. I'm going to hand back to these guys, and I might just pray real quick. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for these people that are here tonight. Lord, I thank you for their hunger and their passion for you that is inside them. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would help each of us to become a people that are fully sold out for you, that, Lord, we're so hungry for you that we're pursuing you with everything that we've got. Yeah. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, and I pray that you would just continue to work in people's lives and continue to show us what hunger looks like and what hunger means. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.